come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, have a seat. Oh man, worshiping with all of you. You know, I just peeked. I'm over here in the corner sitting, and I had to open my eyes and just scan the room and just see everybody just praising God with all of your heart, you know, your soul, your might. It's so uplifting and makes me wish we could just like do this every morning of our life. It would be a great refresh, and you know, and there's something of an awe of God and just watching how He has moved in each one of your lives and brought forth that praise that He's due. How great is our God? How great is He in your thoughts? How great is He when you're alone? How great is He in your home? How great is He in this season? Hey, when wasn't this last year just a revelation for ourselves in what we actually hold in awe? And in who and what we might actually be fearing? Was God the greatest in your life this last year, in this crazy season that we've all been a part of? You know, have you stood in awe of the season or in awe of God? Has fear been a hostile takeover in your life, as if you have no control, you've just been taken over by fear? I'm not trying to oversimplify things here this weekend. I'm bringing you the word of God to tell you that in this season, at this time in your life, a fear of the Lord should be the greatest fear. That an awe of God can take over your fear of anything else. It's not an oversimplification for your life. It's the truth of God that has power. Hey, God's ways are simple. They're not complex. It truly, I think, is a matter of allowing faith to take over fear. Hey, faith feels risky. Faith feels risky. It's like, oh man, I'm letting go of the control. I'm gonna like jump in here and trust, because I trust that God's will, way, and time are perfect, without fault, that He's got a plan, and it's a good plan for your life. And it's not enough just to know this, to study that, to memorize a verse about not fearing. You have to believe. That's the faith step. That's the risk part. It's not enough just to know. We've got to believe. I told you I wanted to share just a few of those little things that God has answered as He had stirred my heart up a few weeks ago to start praying every morning. God, cause me to stand in awe of You today, because He is showing me that an awe of God will change my day. It can change an hour. It can change a minute. It can change me in this season. Because now as I'm praying, God, cause me to stand in awe of You today, guess what's happening? I'm looking. I'm watching. I'm listening. Where's He going to show up? What's He, like, how is He going to thrill me today? Or, you know, what am I going to see or experience or hear? And I'll tell you, it has swung the pendulum of like how He's made me to stand in awe of Him each day. Just quickly, I wanted to list a few. I have a hawk hanging out in my backyard every day. I'm a gardener. I have a garden back there, and I love sitting out there in the mornings. And I have this hawk that just is showing up every single day. He sits on my trellis, and he's hunting mice. And so he sits on the trellis just, yeah, maybe like as far as here to the podium, sitting there, and I'm sitting there watching him catch mice on the ground, just whoosh, swoop down on those mice, get back on the trellis, eat his little Scooby snack. The whole time, which was so funny, is I've been like, I need to get a cat, I need to get a cat, I need to get a cat, and in swoops, this hawk, my little kitty hawk. He's my... And he's been hanging out. My grandkids have even named him. And I've named him Kitty Hawk. They named him Duke. I don't know. Anyway, my youngest daughter, who is not saved yet, I was cleaning up the office. I came across a little tiny note that she had written to her dad, my husband. And I was like, oh, I need to just tuck this away somewhere so it doesn't get lost. And I'm like, oh, I found my husband's Bible. I grab it off the shelf. And as I go to slip the little tiny note into his Bible, I was like, oh, God, I wish you'd just speak to me right now as I just open the Bible and just stick that note in there. I open up right to Isaiah 42, right to the very promise God had given me 15 years ago, maybe more than that, for my daughter, for her salvation. I like, you know, do you ever drop your Bible in awe? I do it. Like when he just like, oh, you're here, you're real. You're God. I'm not. Oh, you're going to be like, just wow, God, just wow. You know, and it turns, you're like, oh, woe is me. My daughter's not saved yet. Until wow, God. Whoa, God. You know, you're on it. You're on it. I don't have to fear. You're on it. A friend died suddenly one day in the last 2 weeks. Out of the blue, no warning, totally, you know, and it made me stand in awe of the brevity, the vapor of life. How he just saved, that he was in his 60s, and he just got saved a few years ago. Wow. God, and it turned a what could have been a whoa to wow, God. You know, a dream, desire that my oldest daughter and I have had for like the last 5 years. We would talk about it all the time. We would just, oh, imagine it, do like play it out in our imaginations with each other. And it became a reality in this last 2 weeks. A beekeeper blessing is what I wrote down. A beekeeper blessing. We were gardening. My daughter and I and some of the grandkids, and there's some bee boxes in this little secret garden place that we've got. And the beekeeper showed up while we were there, and he shouts over, would you guys like some honey? And he pulls out one of the slides from the bee box and walks over and takes his knife and just cuts off honeycomb, puts it on a plate, a little plate, and we're all just like... All day long as we're gardening, just, and we got to ask him all kinds of questions. Oh, God, you're amazing, God. A breakthrough in a family relationship where there had been a long standoff, and the breakthrough came in this last 2 weeks, and I stood in awe at how swift and suddenly it came in, seemingly out of nowhere, even though we've been praying for it and, you know, pressing in for it. An awe of God. If you haven't gotten this yet, here's Sunday morning. If you haven't heard this yet, for whatever reason, sometimes our fears can be so big. They're like a cloud that encompasses everything, and you don't hear from God. An awe of God can change your fear into faith. An awe of God can change your woe is me into woe, God. An awe of God will change you in this season and in every season. An awe of God can evaporate and vaporize that fear that is following you around everywhere you're going. You know, it's seeping out of your mouth. It's consuming you at nighttime. You wake up with it. Start praying. Every single morning, here's your challenge. Will you take this home, ladies? It's an equipping. Take it home. I don't ever like to give like lists. Do 1, 2, 3, and here all your problems will be solved. But will you take this home, put it in your pocket, take it with you everywhere you go? God is here. God is real. He is God. I am not. God is here. God is real. He is God. I am not. God is here. Will you say it? God is real. God, He is God, and I am not. That's for everywhere, every time, in every season. And when you start believing that, you're going to see some changes happen in your heart and mind. Awesome God. We need an awareness of his presence, and we need to respond to his presence. We need to surrender and submit to his will, way, and time, and entrust everything to him. Amen. Entrust it to him. Make him your trust. Will you stand in awe with me today? And be incredibly inspired by our immutable God. Everything changes, but God remains the same. And this is our comfort and our confidence and our joy in every season. God's nature and character, his word, they're constant. They're consistent. Nothing and no one has the power or authority to change him. I came across an article in the New York Times recently, and it was titled, "Anything Can Change, It Seems, Even an Immutable Law of Nature." It goes on to say, astrophysicists have discovered that these basic laws of nature may be changing slightly as the universe ages, a surprising finding that could rewrite physics. Ha! I even wrote that in my notes. Ha, ha, ha. Because it just makes me laugh thinking about that. Man, even these laws of nature that scientists have used as a bedrock for their research for centuries, for their research, their studies, their theories, seem not to be as rock solid as they've trusted and counted on. Hey, the only constant in life is change. And maybe God has designed the seasons and the times of our life from birth to death purposely that way so that we would not cling to anything or anyone but the unchanging one. Yes. Right? He's eternally, continually, perpetually unchanging. His love for us is as full as it ever will be. It can't be depleted or increased. It has stood the test of time. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. He remains faithful. All of God's attributes are woven together, right? You can't separate one from another. His love is holy. His faithfulness is long-suffering. His sovereignty is righteous. And woven through all of his attributes are the threads of his immutability or immutableness. I didn't check on that of what was more correct. The tapestry of his nature and character can never be altered. They'll never fade or diminish. The integrity of his character will always maintain for eternity, right? In our cornerstone verse this weekend, Ecclesiastes 3:14, Solomon declares, "I know that whatever God does is final. Nothing can be added to it or taken from it." Hey, his word says his plans and intentions are the same for every generation. His decrees cannot be frustrated. His law endures. His truth has been established by him to last forever. His faithfulness continues through all the generations. Salvation will last forever. The heavens and the earth will perish and wear out, but God remains the same. Though his creation will wear out like a garment, he will remain the same. His years will never end. Jesus Christ, the same today, yesterday, forever. Hey, we live in a state of ebb and flow, high and low, back and forth, right? But we have an anchor in Christ Jesus. God is in the midst of you so that you won't be moved, even though, and even though, and even though, and though, and though, whatever happens in every season, every time. Oh God, you're so good. Hey, will you stand in astonishment with me today at our Almighty God, our El Shaddai? That name, El, God, Shaddai. Well, a lot of translators, you know, have quite a few different ideas about that word Shaddai and where it came from and what its meaning is, but some translators suggest that it's derived from an ancient word, sadu, meaning mountain. Some might say rock. And others believe it comes from the Hebrew word shad, which is the word for breast. Now, I personally love this name of God because I always think of rock breast. And maybe that doesn't sound respectful to you, but it is. I hold him in awe for being a strong breast, for being, the one that has the power to nourish, to sustain life, to hush an anxiety brought on by a need, right? That's what he can do for our fears. El Shaddai, El Shaddai. He can hush an anxiety brought on by a need as we stand in awe of El Shaddai, believing he is El Shaddai, the one who can sustain. Have you ever held or witnessed a mom holding a hungry baby, a hungry crying baby, restless baby in her arms and watched as that calm that washes over that baby when it's held at its mother's breast? If you've ever experienced that or ever witnessed that, you get it. You get it. The crying stops. The baby relaxes. A holy hush falls upon that baby. The hunger is satisfied. The anxiousness of that baby dissipates. Our strong breast. I can say that to you guys, right? I don't know that I would share that with everybody, but that's how I think of El Shaddai. To that baby, that mother becomes like the source of, everything, satisfaction, nourishment, comfort, mom, the life giver. But that's our almighty God, God, the life giver, the sustainer of life, right? We might have the power to change our clothes, to change our hair color, to change our diets, to change the bed covers on our beds. Hey, but God has the power. Only he has the power to create new life and to sustain life and to revive life, to change hearts, to renew strength to the weary ones, your El Shaddai. Well, hey, will you stand in awe with me today, startled, surprised, speechless, stunned at our sovereign God? Paul tells us in Acts 17 that God has determined the exact location where each one of us will live, and he knows the exact span of each one of our lives. To say that God is sovereign means that there's no situation, there's no location, there's no relationship that you and I will ever find ourselves in that is outside of his wise and careful rulership, right? He was ruling before the origins of the earth and this world, and he'll rule after this world as we know it is gone. His ways and plans are bigger than us. They're bigger than you. They're beyond you, but they include you. Right? His sovereignty means that he's able to enforce, to keep in place those things that he's determined. There's no authority, power, or dominion that can alter his plans. Abraham said that the one who's promised is able to perform it. Job said, I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Solomon says, there is no wisdom, no insight, no plan that can succeed against the Lord. Hey, we are meant to be mystified, blown away, left in a holy hush and worshipful wonder and amazement in light of our unshakable, immutable, supremely sovereign God in every season. Hey, will you stand in awe with me over our God Most High, El Elyon? The Lord's established his throne in heaven and his kingdom rules over all. He's ruling in authority and power over your life and your season and time. No one is like you, O Lord. You are great, and your name is mighty in power. Who should not fear you, O King of nations? This is your due. The Lord is the true God. He is God, the eternal King, Jeremiah said. And how awesome is the Lord Most High, the great King over all the earth. Is he the Most High in your life? Or is a fear of death or is a fear of loss, or is a fear of cancer, or is a fear of financial ruin? What is most high in your life? Whatever is most high, you know, you're gonna grip onto the tightest. If fear is most high in your life, you're probably holding on to fear with a death grip. You know, hold God most high. The thing you hold in highest esteem, you will hold tightest to, right? When no one else is dependable or can be trusted upon, he can be. When you can't count on today being the same as it was yesterday, you can count on his consistency. When moods and atmospheres change on that car ride home, or when you walk into the door of your home, God is there. God is here. He's the same. When you don't know which way to go, he's your true north. When you don't know what your future holds, you can hold on to the anchor of your soul. He's the steady one, the stable one, the rock of the ages. And you know where to find him. He's here. He's here. Do you know what the ultimate awe moment of your life is going to be? When you see God face to face. When you see him as he is, when you see the all of God's awesomeness, not just some of the awe of God, the ultimate awe experience will be in heaven when we see all of God. Hey, every season under the sun has its end. This too shall pass, as my mother-in-law always says to me. This too shall pass, and we are going to pass from this life unto the next life, right? And all sorrow will pass away along with it. God will personally wipe the tears from your eyes when you're in heaven. And he has a place prepared for you, an everlasting home with an unending eternal season of bliss. Heaven will be filled with the glory of God, and he can't wait to show himself off to all of us. Hey, there'll be no more crying or mourning or loss. The dance party will never have to end. It'll be a forever season of dancing, laughing, building, planting, loving, peace, embracing under the Son of Jesus Christ. This life is a vapor. We're here today and we're going to be in paradise tomorrow. But while we're here, ladies, what are you focusing on? What are you keeping your eye on? What are you listening to? Do you need to turn off the news? Is the news stirring up more anxiety? And turn it off, please. Just turn it off. Is social media stirring up fear and anxiety? Cut it off. Take a risky faith move. Do what you need to do to guard what your eyes are focused on, to guard what your ears are hearing, to guard maybe who you're giving your attention to and what you're giving your attention. Keep your eye on the Lord. Keep it there. Faith will grow. Faith will build. He'll get bigger as he gets bigger and bigger in your thought life and wiser and stronger in your thought life. As you believe that, everything else gets smaller and put in its right place, its proper order. God is here. God is real. He is God. I am not. Let's stay in harmony with him in every season. Hey, I want to invite you just to stand up right now. I want to pray over you, and I want to just encourage and exhort you one last time that the world around you needs to see, hear, and know how awesome God is. The people in your home need to hear and see and know how awesome God is. Are you in a season today of blessing, of laughter, of honor, of prosperity? Hey, if that's you, can you just open your hands and say, blessed be,
blessed be.
The name of the Lord. Are you in a season of loss, of grieving, mourning, stripping down, tearing away, letting go, empty nest? Can you say, blessed be the name of the Lord? God, you give, and you take away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Heavenly Father, I just lift my sisters before you, and I thank you and praise you, God, for being our anchor, for being our constant, for being our rock in every season, every time. Lord, I just pray your blessings, and by blessings I mean transformation. I pray your benefits. I pray you'd load us up, God, as we go down the mountain, that as we go down the mountain, we will, in our cars, God, we would be lifting your name on high. We would be exalting you, God, that there be no dread of going home. I pray that dread would be just evaporated now in the name of Jesus. And I pray, God, as each woman opens the door of their home, she would walk in and say, God, you are here. Yes. And so just thank you for this time, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness to each one of us, your goodness. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thanks, guys. I love you. Thank you. It's been wonderful. It's been a joy.
For listening to this Heart to Heart Women's Bible Study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495.
In the power of your name, I'm giving up, letting go.